Thank you, Kim. That was our last newscast in our show from this building.
That's
although
sad.
Kim's over
even though
there.
I'm here, it's still the history.
But, Kim, you've got a box set of all the news stories you've done over the years that you want to sell, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's available.
It's a 6-CD set.
Yeah.
With more to come.
I'm in.
All right. We're going to talk sports. Chicago, America's best sports town. Brian Sandalo in the studio with us. This is a great book that you should purchase for your dad or loved one for Father's Day. How about that?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think you just said everything you need to say right now.
Well,
yes.
I want to say something, and I want to ask Bill. Yesterday was a memorable day in sports history. What was it? Dun, dun,
was yesterday
dun,
the anniversary
dun,
of something
dun,
that happened?
Yes.
Was
Twentieth anniversary. Of let Bill come on.
I honestly don't know. What
Michael Jeffrey
it?
Jordan.
Yeah,
it was his. He delivered his final shot on the court and the second three-peat. Correct.
Yes.
Oh,
and,
I didn't know that.
For all intents,
Southside and, Wendy yes. checking in here.
Very nice.
And for all intents and purposes, everything I care about, that's his last shot ever. We don't need to discuss.
The Washington years never took place.
What years?
Yeah.
What are we talking about
you.
Here? I don't know. I think that was the end of his career.
Can you even debate, because every once in a while, you'll see a debate about LeBron James being a better basketball player. Other names have come up.
That was
ridiculous.
Me, by the way.
That's ridiculous.
If anybody is going to take Michael Jordan's crown, it's going to be LeBron James, because he is incredible. Let's not say
he's
that
no
he's
Michael
not.
Jordan.
But it's hard to debate six titles. I know that people are saying, oh, he's been to all these NBA finals and he's done so much with worst supporting cast, but Michael Jordan 6-0 in the NBA finals is, I think it's hard to beat.
Sometimes, and for people who follow his career, you know the stories already, he'd have the flu. He had a 103 fever and he still had an amazing game. One time he was hit by a train on the way to the game, head on. He still scored 71 points. You can't even debate it. It's ridiculous.
No, I mean, what Michael Jordan's impact is we're still feeling it today. LeBron James is wonderful. I don't want anyone to think that I don't think that he's great.
Yeah.
But LeBron James is still following in the footsteps of Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was the first basketball player to be that kind of celebrity, that kind of international marketing star, the first player to become an owner, if I'm not mistaken. Those are all things that LeBron James aspires to do or will do, but he won't be the first because Michael Jordan was the one who's now the owner. He's the one who kind of blazed that trail.
Right.
He's still number one.
He just is the best.
So
the
good way
he hung in the air like that. I know the Cubs are going to get some love, and we'll talk about that. Bill can bring that up. But I love the White Sox. I've been a Sox fan. We have the White Sox on this radio station. I mentioned to you a great picture of the 70s uniform with Goose Gossage wearing it.
A very young Rich Goose Gossage.
Yes.
Very young.
I loved watching those players wear those. We were talking to Ed Farmer. He said that they were comfortable, but the look was not the right way. And you have a memorable moment about these uniforms.
Yes. So everyone remembers the night that Chris Sale tore up the jerseys.
Edward Scissorhand, you
mean? Where he wanted to cut them up because he didn't want to wear them. And I will always remember the date is July 23rd, 2016. I will always remember that.
Why?
Because that was my wedding day.
Oh,
and
nice.
We were supposed to get married outdoors at my in-laws' grounds. They have a nice big spread of land, but it rained. Cats and dogs, lightning, thunder, all of that. So we were delayed for 2 hours. So here's what I did to keep myself sane during that. I followed everything that was coming out of U.S. Cellular Field, all the tweets and everything. That kept me kind of thinking, you know what? You're not Chris Sale.
Right.
Things could be worse.
Right.
And then you know what? Got married very happily.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
So
did your wife cut up the wedding dress after the wedding?
I don't believe so. I think we've still got that somewhere. But I will always remember July 23rd, 2016 is the date that Chris Sale tore that up because I was giving updates to people waiting for the wedding. They were like, when are you going to get married, Brian? Like, well, I don't know, but Chris Sale just did this.
I didn't realize it was these old jerseys he cut up, and what a baby. I mean, the more I think about it, I don't want to wear them. I'll cut them up.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that the Sox, obviously, they didn't wear the shorts. I think it was 2015. The Sox wore those as throwbacks in 2015, and everyone loved them. I mean, looked weird, but they're supposed to be very comfortable. So the players for one game had a sense of humor about it and wore them. Chris Sale the next year, of course, had no sense of humor. And then, coincidentally or not, now he's with the Boston Red Sox.
When you think about how innovative the White Sox have been over the years, do you give the biggest nod to Bill Veeck? Is it mostly because of Bill Veeck?
Bill Veeck is a huge part of that. I mean, some of his innovations didn't work, and some of his baseball decisions after they won the pennant in 1959 kind of backfired. They made a lot of win-now trades that didn't help. Mm-hmm. But things like the exploding scoreboard, even names on the back of the jersey. Can you picture teams now not wearing that?
I know they didn't have it before?
No.
Really?
No, it's a very simple it's just a very simple marketing trick, but it's innovative now. Can you imagine buying a Bulls jersey with 23 but no name on mm-hmm. it? All that started because of Bill Veeck. So, I mean, yes.
There were also silly things like right. the shower and the yes. outfield was silly. Do you remember the thing? I don't know how old you are, but for a while there was a thing on home plate that would come out of home plate and spin around and it would clean off home plate automatically. See, do you remember that?
I don't remember that. I'm only
like a scrubbing bubble kind of thing?
Like a scrubbing bubble.
I'm only 32, I don't quite remember that. But I do know about the shower. I do know the exploding scoreboard, names on the back of the yeah. jerseys. And that's creative.
Mullet night.
And mullet night, yes.
Tonight, I think.
No, it is tonight.
Yeah, I wish I was covering tonight because I would try to turn my hair into a mullet tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I just want to say you're a sports reporter mainly for the Chicago Sun-Times, Associated Press, Sports Exchange, and Chicago Side Sports.
Yeah.
The official launch for this book, Chicago, America's Best Sports Town, taking place tonight?
Yes, and at the bookseller in Lincoln Square. That is kind of like my home bookstore.
Good.
I can walk there, which is really, in case people want to do things with me after.
hang out?
Yeah, we can have a little hang, and I don't have to drive, so that's really good. But yeah, come out, say hello. I'll sign a copy for you, and you can we have a little bit of a Q&A. Maybe I'll have a nice little sentimental speech thanking everybody.
Oh, 7 o'clock.
So nice. Yes, and so you can ask me about sports, about the book, about journalism, anything that you want to ask me. It's like an AMA.
Before we go to break, I need to ask you this. Since we were talking about the White Sox, people forget, but this is a very important moment for the White Sox. We came within inches of them leaving town, probably for Florida. It was saved very, very late at night one night. That would have been a horrible thing for the city to have lost the White Sox.
It would have been absolutely terrible. And I know that, you know, my dad, who's a big diehard Cubs fan, even he was telling me how sad he would have been because Chicago needs two teams.
Yeah.
You know, North Side, South Side, that's part of our identity, that we have multiple teams, that we have this rivalry built in. And the South Side would have lost so much of its identity, I think, if the Sox had moved to Tampa Bay. Now, they probably would not have been better off because, as we know, that stadium was outdated the day that the Rays moved in.
Yeah.
So they'd probably be looking to move back to Chicago at this point, or actually somebody really smart would have moved into the South Side probably about a minute after the Sox moved
really?
Out. I would think. I mean,
how about
who
that?
Wouldn't want it?
Brian Sandalo is his name. The book is Chicago, America's Best Sports Town. We'll discuss more next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Here's a great book to pick up for your dad for Father's Day. It's called Chicago, America's Best Sports Town, written by sports writer Brian Sandalo. What do you think, Brian, makes this the best sports town?
Well, we're the best sports town because, first of all, we support all four major teams. Plus, we have a very vivid high school scene.
Five major teams.
Four major sports.
Yeah.
Four major sports, five major teams. We have a bunch of lower-level pro teams, a lot of college teams. We have the best high school basketball in the country. And then the way that we support the big five teams. Everyone loves the Bulls, the Bears, the Blackhawks.
Except Bill. Bill's bailing on the Bears. He bailed on the Bears.
I give up.
Have patience. I think 2019.
Really? All right.
2019 is going to be a great year.
All right.
2018 is going to be transitional. But then for 6 months, we all go into our separate tribes. There are Cubs fans. There are White Sox fans. There's that rivalry where everybody takes sides. But yet in September, everyone unites again to become Bears fans. They unite in October to become Bulls and Hawks fans. And that's something that's so unique that we can all have these divisions yet come together for all of our teams. I think there's something poetic about that. I think there's something cool about that. And I think that it would be a good example for people to follow in general, that we can all come together.
I am a Sox fan. I learned that from my grandfather. I have never liked the Cubs. Although when they were going for the World Series, I kind of swallowed my pride a little bit and said, you know what? They were the best team in baseball.
Right.
They deserved it.
Yeah.
I didn't want them to win two in a row, but that's okay. But Bill is one of the few people I know who really, truly does like both teams.
I do.
Is that possible?
I guess it is. I mean, how does that
You're
work?
You're the only one I know, Bill.
How does that happen?
When I was a kid, my dad worked for a company that had season tickets for both the Cubs and the White Sox, so we would go to an equal number of Cubs games and White Sox games, and it always doubled my chances of seeing a team go, you know, into the playoffs in the World Series. So I was always baffled that more people weren't fans of both teams.
Well, that's fine. I mean, and you can make the argument that anybody that wears Chicago on their chest, why wouldn't somebody from the North Side
right.
cheer for the White Sox?
Right.
But yet still, for a lot of people, they see part of the identity of being a Cubs fan is not caring about the White Sox.
Right.
And part of the identity of being a White Sox fan is hating the Cubs.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
But do they hate the team or do they hate the fandom?
It's the fandom.
It is, isn't it?
I feel like some White Sox fans hate everything that goes along with Cubdom.
Yeah.
Because we're the second child. We're that redheaded stepchild that the White Sox never got the attention that the Cubs did, ever. Even when they won the World Series.
Okay, only one national outlet occasionally forgets that the White Sox won the World Series. It's the four letter. We know that, that occasionally they'll forget
yeah.
that.
To start with an E?
Yes, yeah. And it ends with an SPN.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. But yeah. I feel like the White Sox get their share.
Not even in the paper. Bill, you agree with this.
There are times on the sports page where the first two or three back pages of the sports page are devoted to the Cubs, and then we'll say Mark Burley throws no hitter, and you know, four pages later for the White
The
Sox.
Sox get their share. I mean, I'll be out there Sunday for the Sun Times. I can tell you this:
you've been good about it.
The Sun Times will
been.
Give them the Sun Times gives the Sox their share just as equally as the Cubs. And people love the White Sox; they're a huge part of this city. And as we said, if Big Jim Thompson hadn't stopped the clock, that would have been a tragedy. So
I'm
glad that he stopped that clock.
Let's talk about the resurgence of Blackhawk fans and the Blackhawk team here in the city, because there was a time where you'd watch the Blackhawks and you go, I don't know if we're ever going to win another championship. It's impossible. This is just not happening. And boy, did they turn it
around. And was it Duncan Keith and Patrick Kane trying to give away tickets at Union Station to go to a game and no one would even take free tickets back then?
There were stories about Patrick Sharp and
And
Duncan Keith and Seabrook who would just try to hand out tickets to people. And people would say,
I'm busy.
I got
I'm
other
good.
Things going on. You know, I'm going to watch TV that night. It's incredible. It just shows what was there. It was just waiting under the surface. People needed any sort of excuse to come back. And boy, did they. The second, the sellout streak started in the end of the 07-08 season, which, if you remember, was a year the Hawks missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
People were so eager and ready for this team to become good. And then when they finally became really good, it was like this catharsis. Everyone was just waiting, and they had their excuse now to become fans. And it's been a heck of a run. Now, it'll be interesting to see how people react if there's another bad season.
There won't be.
You don't think so?
I don't.
No?
I just can't imagine it being as bad as this year was.
I don't know. They have to be very active this offseason. They have some cap space for the first time in a long time. They have to improve the blue line somehow, some way. If they come back with the same six, it's going to be a very similar season. But
Do something radical?
I don't know about radical. I think that they can make incremental improvements, and if Corey Crawford is healthy, I think they were a playoff team last season.
Mm-hmm.
It can't all be based on a goalie, though. Come on.
But the way that they play it puts pressure on it puts pressure on the goalie, especially when you have the blue line like they did last season.
Mm-hmm. No Marian Hossa, though.
Right,
that was
too.
A problem.
And Marian Hossa was such
a big loss.
Was a great two-way player. A lot of people were focusing on, they have that cap space now.
Right.
Out from under that contract. Yes, but they have a short window because of the age of their core.
Right.
If you have Marian Hossa, it gives you a better chance to win the cup.
But do you credit all this change? It's got to be. It's Rocky Wirtz and it's John McDonough.
Right.
It was those guys figuring out and fast what needed to be done to turn this team back into a winner.
It was Rocky Wirtz. It was a weird way to show respect for your father the man had been dead for a few days and he's just deciding to reverse everything that he did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a strange way to mourn the loss of your father, but that's what he did.
Yeah.
He just went out and hired John McDonough, and the rest has been history. The McDonough recognized what he had to do, and there's a real honor to that, and there's a real intelligence to it, to realizing that you've got to just blur everything up and start over. And that's very cool.
All right, we haven't spent a lot of time on the Bears because Bill is not a fan.
No.
I'm still a Bears fan. I mean, I'm just born and bred a Bears fan, and I'm not going the Packer way. Who wrote the foreword to your book?
some guy who coached the team in the 80s.
Who would this be?
Some guy named Ditka.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Where would we know him? Where wouldn't you know him? He was the coach of the Super Bowl champion Bears and also a great player for the Bears in the early 60s, which some people maybe my generation don't realize that he was maybe the first great tight end in football.
Changed the position,
right?
He completely
changed the position. You see a guy like Rob Gronkowski now, you can trace that back to what Mike Ditka was doing at Wrigley Field in 1961.
Yeah.
People don't always remember that because he's such a huge media personality, but he was a transformational football player, not just a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah.
All right, and you cover, somebody wants to know, what about the Chicago Fire and the women's team covered in this book?
They're all in there. They're all in there. I mean, they're a part of Chicago being America's best sports town. Chicago is more than just the Big Five.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, everyone looks at the Big Five, but you've got the Fire who, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights could not win the championship in their first season. But the Chicago Fire didn't just win the MLS Cup in their first season. They won the U.S. Open Cup. So that is still probably the most accomplished first-year team in North American sports. That's in there. There's a lot about the Wolves, the Chicago Sky. We've got it covered.
Yeah.
Chicago, America's best sports town. I would just say Chicago, America's best town. That's what I would say.
Oh, I can go with that.
Yeah. All right. He's Brian Sandalo, and you've got a book signing tonight. You can pick up the book. You can go out and hang with them afterwards. It's at 7 o'clock at the Bookseller, 4736-ish North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago.
Yep.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you for having me, and I feel privileged to be part of this historic
moment.
You're
the last guest in the studio for
last
us.
Last interview
ever. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
A quick break, then we'll check in with John Hanson, find out what he's got coming up on the Wintrust business launch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.